Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. It's finally the most wonderful time of the year. Senior Bowl week. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the lead guy running lead. That didn't make sense. The lead guy running lead on the petition for the Senior Bowl to switch back to North and South. And with me, as always, is AJ. Jim Nagy really did it during a pandemic. Marchese.
You gotta give it to Jim. He finally owned the libs, and now we just have to sit in it.
And again, he even changed the names to American and National to be even more patriotic. Gotta respect Jim Nagy's hustle. Today is our 2021 Senior Bowl special. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, don't draft specialists on the second day, maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect, and the NBA is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. You know who else is an expert, AJ?
Jim Nagy, baby. We've already said
that. That's right. That's right. Jim Nagy, because we doubted him at times. He came through. The Senior Bowl's happening. People are going. Craziness. It's a pandemic.
It's sold to capacity, whatever. Rob. There's a big banner across the top of the website.
That's sick. Yeah. And the media people are going. That's sick. Draft Twitter bros are going. That's sick. But hey, we're gonna safely enjoy it from our homes. But I'm not gonna lie. I'm very happy it's happening.
I know, and we talked about it last week. I'm a little upset the combine's not happening, and like, especially like the rules kind of seem murky, because like there's a thing about like pro days might only be allowed a maximum of 5 underclassmen, which is really weird. So I don't know, but yeah. So all things considered, when we're losing all this stuff, I am happy the Senior Bowl's happening, even though I don't know if it should be, but yeah, I'm happy.
And it makes this more important than ever.
It does, and it's a hell of a roster.
Yeah, it is an awesome roster. Because Jim Nagy's the best.
He's a king. Like, I feel like there's a lot less FCS guys than usual and a lot less small school guys than usual, which doesn't mean that it's a better roster on that merit alone, but I'm just saying that's probably a good sign. Yeah, that we get all these Bama guys and the Blue Bloods guys are there. Like, so many Ohio State guys, yeah.
And I wonder if that's because those FCS, most of those FCS schools didn't play season, so guys didn't really have that chance to elevate themselves to earning a Senior Bowl invite.
Yeah, no, which definitely sucks for them. But yeah, we got like, what, 6 FCS guys off the top of my head? Something like that?
I don't know. We got the only one that matters.
6 or 7, something like that, yeah.
Okay, let's jump into it. We're going to go with some superlatives, then we're going to do some one-on-one talks, and then we'll go position group by position group at the end.
Let's do it, baby.
Okay, who are you most excited to see at the 2021 Senior Bowl, AJ?
Okay, this is going to be my only cop-out, Rob. I'm going...
It's okay, I copped it.
Okay, cool. I'm going, in general, the offensive line and the defensive line, because I think both of those groups are absolutely loaded this year.
Yeah, you really love the defensive tackle group?
Not... I say defensive line, as Jim puts it. Yeah, there's like, I don't know, what is there? Four true IDLs, and probably like add another two that are probably going to be there full time in Mobile. And then like a fun group of like bigger edges that we'll probably we'll get a good look at rotating inside, which is actually going to be really cool.
I think it's the best offensive line group I've seen.
It's pretty fucking loaded, for real. And like, which is pretty interesting, because like you know, we've talked about a lot of the top offensive tackles, and like those guys aren't there, but like, because they're underclassmen, but it's still loaded at tackle, and I think the interior is even better.
Yeah, no, I think that the interior's got a great combination of high-end guys and really interesting day three options who could be plug-and-play guys, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's a good group, and I like watching these guys and getting into it a bit this week. I think I underappreciated the IOL class this year, and seeing what it looks
I did too.
Yeah, seeing what it looks like at the senior level, I was like, oh fuck, there's a lot of guys I like in this group.
Yeah, I think part of it is because there's no absolute top 15 dude in the class, but there's a lot of depth.
Yeah, and there's not even a slam dunk first round pick right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Landon Dickerson probably would have been the first IOL off the board.
Elijah Vera Tucker.
Oh, yeah. But you remember, I'm still not that high on Elijah Vera Tucker, and I haven't really dug into him yet.
He's also, some people are talking about, because he moved to left tackle this year.
Yeah.
And then coming back to the D-line group, obviously, yeah, like you said, the interior defensive line group, not that special, but the edge group is so deep, and there's all these different types of them. We got some huge guys. We've got the Jordan Smiths, the Peyton Turners, and then we've got some of the smaller guys like the Quincy Roches and the Shacatonis. And we got a couple guys who could contend to be top 50 picks, in like Boogie Basham, Rashad Weaver, back to Jordan Smith even. It's a really fun group, and obviously the best one-on-ones are always going to be O-line, D-line.
Yeah, we were biased coming into this, but the groups are legitimately absolutely awesome, and like, that's not a knock on the rest of the positions at all.
No,
like,
no.
It's just it's deep as hell, and it's fun as hell.
I found pretty much outside of quarterback, every position group has some really, really talented dudes. The teams are just not split very well.
Hey, it's hard to split it when it's national versus American, all right? They're both equally great.
How do they decide what is what?
I don't know. I'm going to be like, you know, the Charlie Day meme when he's at the board there. That's going to be me trying to put all these things together, trying to figure out what the geographic connection is alphabetical. I have no idea. But
before I go to my most excited, AJ, can you explain to the listener how you've remembered that the Dolphins are national and the Panthers are American?
I mean, because I've been struggling. Because I mean, it's tough for me, and the change from north to south has got me all fucked up. So I know national is Miami, because Pitbull is from Miami and he's Mr. Worldwide, and that's international. International equals national. That's the Dolphins.
Pretty easy.
Simple.
Such a good tool.
Simple math. Mr. Worldwide.
There you go. Okay. I also copped out for most excited. I just put the group of five talent in general because I stand the group of five. But a lot of the guys I'm most excited to see are coming from the group of five. I'm excited to see them against some of this blue blood talent that you mentioned. I have most of my draft crushes that are at the Senior Bowl are from the group of five. I wrote down six names specifically. South Alabama linebacker Riley Cole, Western Michigan receiver Dwayne Eskridge, UAB edge Jordan Smith, Tulane edge Cam Sample, UCF DB Aaron Robinson, and Cincinnati left tackle James Hudson.
The big dogs of the group of five too. Like, we've seen all of those guys. Like, the hype's starting to build for all of them. I mean, the Cam Sample one, maybe the quietest, and you got it started last
That's
week.
That's my favorite one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I've seen the Riley Cole stands floating around kind of since like mid-season, to be honest. And then, like, you know, Jordan Smith has been a top 50 talks. Yeah, there's it is a really talented group. And, like, James Hudson could be one of the big risers of the week.
And then, like, yeah, and I think Eskridge is the perfect type of receiver that the NFL is looking for right now. And, hey, even Aaron Robinson, DJ had him in the first round of his mock draft. And he was one of my favorite guys over the summer because of how versatile he is in that Central Florida secondary. They play him everywhere. And he's an Alabama transfer, too, so he's got some of that.
The pedigree.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really, really good group, and I can't wait to see them against some of these big dogs.
Yeah, and speaking of the secondary specifically for Robinson, this is a talented and deep wide receiver class too. So it's he's going to get tested, and that's going to be super fun.
Lots of different types of receivers in the class too, so you get to see how they handle different styles, which is fun.
I know this is on script here, but what position group are you the least excited for?
Tight end, I think.
See. That's fair, but I love Hunter Long and Kenny Yeboah so much, so like that at least helps me.
I think interior D-line and tight end are the ones that stand out.
IDL is probably the fair one, but Nagy's just got them grouped as DL because he's smart and he knows how to market.
Bingo. Okay, you mentioned there's not that many non-FBS guys this year. I'm going to just take a leap of faith and assume we both have Quinn Meinerz as our non-FBS guy to watch.
You know what? I did the three non-FBS offensive linemen. Raidens, Spencer Brown, and Quinn Meinerz. Because I think Miners is obviously a friend of the show. He was on the show in the summer. We love him. Didn't get to play this year, so I'm super – he's basically the most excited I am for anyone to see. But
he can dunk.
He can dunk. He was posting those sick workout tapes. That was great. But, yeah, Raiden's got first-round talk. Spencer Brown, there's a lot of fans of his. I don't think either of us were too hot in the summer, and I'm still not there. So I want to see him against the best of the best. But Miners is really the one I'm most excited for.
Wait, did you say all three? So Spencer Brown, Quinn Meinerz, and David Moore?
Oh, sorry, I said Raiden's, but, yeah, David Moore, too. Forgot about Raiden's.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Raiden's.
Yeah.
It's a good – I mean, that's four. I actually watched Dave Moore literally today, and I didn't know what to think going in. I came away thinking he's very interesting, day three guy. But, I mean, Riddens and Spencer Brown have both, like you said, both had kind of top 50 first-round talk even, and Spencer Brown's supposed to be a freak. Then, obviously, Quinn Meinerz are just a guy.
David Moore was the first player to show up in Mobile, so that's a bump right there, too.
He's always on time. That's what they said about him.
That's every single broadcast you throw on when you're watching Grambling games, I would say he's always on time, and you love that.
I watched him dominate the Alabama A&M D-line.
So sick.
Okay. Who do you think's got the most to prove on offense this week?
So I wanted to go quarterback because when it all comes down to it, these events, you know, they're about the quarterbacks, even though not for me. But
yeah, they are.
They are. So I put Max Jones just to see him – you know, not in that Alabama setting with, you know.
I did too.
Like, Devonta Smith is there, but he's not catching balls. And, like, he has some guys there, but it's, you know, he's in practice. He's not familiar with most of his pass catchers. It's obviously a fish out of water scenario. And I like Mac Jones, though. Like, I think he's going to go and look good.
Me too. I think the two most obvious guys you could put for this superlative are him and Kyle Trask.
Definitely. Yeah, that's who I debated.
And I think we both lean Mac Jones because we both see him as an actual day two prospect versus Trask is more hype than substance.
Yeah, correct. I think he's just a better player. Period.
I'm also excited just to kind of see how he handles the huddle. To be honest, just because you've been at Alabama, and this is just such a totally new environment.
Yeah, and he was still only a 1-year starter. We I don't know if that gets talked about that much because he was so damn good. But yeah, I mean, no, you're right. There's still those boxes for him to check. It's not like I don't think he's going to check them, but no, there will be the questions.
I think he's the only quarterback here who's really got a chance to go day two. I'd actually put Jamie Newman in this column too if I was looking at a third guy, just because obviously we haven't seen him in a year. I think he's got the best physical tools of anyone there.
Agreed.
And if he has a good week, like the day two doesn't seem realistic, just because, again, he hasn't played in a year.
Yeah.
But maybe being that first quarterback off the board day three that you're kind of banking on as a developmental guy.
Yeah, no, I like Jamie Newman. He's got a lot to work on. But no, he's definitely got the best arm of the group. And yeah, like whenever there's a guy that's going to go out and wow with his arm, he's got so much to gain. And he definitely could be the big riser of this group of quarterbacks. Now the question is, like you said, I don't know if it's going to be to day two, and I don't know if he's going to do it, but he's got the chance to.
He enters the week right now as my QB six behind, obviously, the four first-round guys and Mac Jones. So,
fair enough. Yeah. You hate Kyle Trask. Okay. I respect it.
Maybe a less obvious question. Most approve on defense.
Definitely a less obvious question. I ended up settling on Marvin Wilson just because...
Me too.
Hey, so we're right.
It was obvious.
It was. Look, I don't think it was, but it was an easy one.
just contradictory.
Yeah, no. He's the biggest slider of anyone that's in Mobile, because he went from a potential top 15 guy, and we talked about this two episodes ago, to now maybe he's not a day two guy. So, and his credit too. Like we just said, there's like no IDL, so he's got a spotlight on him, and if he can go in and perform, he can reignite his stock.
And it, like you said earlier, this interior offensive line group is very, very good.
Yeah.
And if he stands out among an interior D line group that's not over, like, no, you're not getting super excited about any. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Levi Amuzariki's got probably the best upside here.
Agreed.
But Marvin Wilson has, I don't know, the biggest name, the most pedigree coming from the bigger school. He obviously didn't have the senior year expected, but had a junior year that at least led people to believe if he could take another step, he could be a first round guy. I'm definitely excited to see him. He dealt with injuries this year too.
Mm-hmm.
A good week for him reignites, like you said, reignites that day two talk.
Yeah, and hey, look, it's not just the group in Mobile that's weak at IDL. It's this class in general. So
exactly.
So, yeah, it's not just, hey, he looked the best in Mobile. Well, maybe we should take another look at him. It's if he looks the best in Mobile, he can really, really affect his stock come April 27th or whatever it is.
I think both him and Levi on Uzariki have a big week ahead of them because of this interior D-line class. Because after Christian Barmore, it's kind of him, it's kind of Davion Nixon, and then it's, to me, it's very open.
Yeah, and Daniel Jeremiah also mocked on Uzariki in the first, right? Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right, I forgot.
Yeah, so there's been a, like, and you know what, it kind of crept up, and then when I saw it, I wasn't too shocked, because I've seen some people really falling for him, and I think we've both been fans of his for a couple years, and
the
talent's always been there, yeah.
Do you remember on Rizuriki's 2018 tape,
mm-hmm.
he was playing kind of more all over the line,
yeah,
which we always get excited about. And then 2019, because of injuries, he's playing so much more nose tackle, and he's just not built to be a nose tackle. He's like 290, and so much more built to be a five tech or a three tech.
And that's and a school that
a really good athlete who wins with quickness and leverage. And they were like asking him just to hold the point as a nose tackle, and it just didn't make sense.
Yeah, and one of the, like, Washington's one of the nose tackle schools too. Like, they always have a true nose tackle. So, like, yeah, when you got a guy that should be shooting gaps and he making lots of splashy plays as he did in 2018, ask him just to like gap it. It's not a big it's not ideal for him.
And that's why he's in a perfect position to dominate one on ones this week.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Okay, before we jump into one on one talk, who, if you can pick one guy who's not really in that first round conversation heading into the week?
Okay.
Who are you picking that puts themselves into it through the three practices?
I got to narrow it down. Okay, I will say Deontay Brown, the Alabama interior offensive lineman.
Because that picture of him makes him look massive?
He is massive. He's a fucking walking fridge. I mean, I fell in love with him. My other pick was going to be another interior offensive lineman, if you want to hear.
Yeah. Go for it.
Ben Cleveland, who I fell in love with both of them. I fell in love with both of them.
Yeah, I thought when I fell in love with Ben Cleveland, I thought you would.
Yeah, because I mean, I liked him all year just watching live games, and I didn't dig in, and I threw the tape on this week. I'm like, holy fuck,
he's an MF-er.
Yeah, I love Brown.
He's
and
also massive.
Yeah, they're both. He's what 6'6", 330, and
he's 6'6", 340.
That's fucked. And Brown is what, like 350 at 6'3"? He's just,
yeah.
He's like, maybe he's not afraid. He's like a fucking safe.
I love this interior O-line group.
I do too.
Specifically the guards. I noticed there's only two actual centers.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll have somebody else try to snap.
Yeah, I don't know. Who the hell would it be?
I don't know. We'll find out. I bet our boy Quinn could
do it. Yeah, that's a good one. He will definitely get a look at center. You're right.
And he can do anything.
Yeah, I've seen him dunk. Who did you put?
I put Rashad Weaver, the pit edge.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
I think he's my highest rated pass rusher that's going to be in Mobile.
Okay.
Right now he's a day two guy,
and he's been there all year too.
Yeah, and he missed 2019 with a torn ACL. Like, he was quite good in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Missed 2019 with the ACL, and that's when, like, kind of Patrick Jones and Jalen Twyman broke out.
Yeah.
So it was a little quieter entering his senior year with the hype. And then I think he was obviously Twyman opted out, but I thought Weaver was the anchor on that D-line. And 6'5", 270, great hands, a little stiff, like, not the greatest athlete in the world, but you fall in love with the pass rush repertoire. Mm-hmm. You fall in love with the effort. You fall in love with the power he can generate. And what he can do as a run defender. So I think if he can get the best of some of these blue blood offensive tackles, again, like both of us are picking guys who don't really have that first round hype right now. But with the right week, we've seen it happen. Like, a guy enter the week not really being talked about at that level, and then come out of that week and he's like,
who's the
viewed as a consensus first
off the top of your head? Like, Hassan Reddick, the biggest single
riser?
Yes,
that was the while I was saying that, I had Hassan Reddick in mind.
Yeah,
it only took 4 years and he broke out.
Can he get the bag, baby? I still love Hassan Reddick. I don't care.
He was awesome this year when they just let him play his natural position as a pass rusher.
Yeah, he was. And that was the big talk going into Mobile about him, you know, moving, playing linebacker and pass rusher, and he looked good doing both. So, anyways. There always is a guy. There always is a guy.
Okay, let's do some one-on-one talk. We'll go. We'll start with the interior O-line versus the interior D-line. Who you got for national that you're most excited to see up against each other?
So, I mean, I had to go back to Quinn Meinerz because I want to see if he can prove it, baby. We love him so much. And I put him up against the best there, Levi Onwuzurike, who –
yeah.
That's going to be a good
There's
test.
There's going to be overlap here.
Yeah, there is. But it's okay. We're highlighting the big ones. That's the big test, like, to see if Meinerz can handle that Pac-12 athleticism, baby. Like, coming from Wisconsin Whitewater, making the leap and seeing him against – I mean, luckily for him, it's not that great of an ideal group, but Onwuzurike's the big dog, so.
And Meinerz, it's not like Meinerz is an undersized guy or anything.
No.
You just want to see if he can handle that athleticism, and that's why I think Onwuzurike's the perfect guy to show it against, because he's the most athletic guy on that interior D-line.
Definitely.
And you throw on the Quinn Meinerz tape, and it's – he stands out so quickly because obviously he's playing Division III, and he's by far the best guy in the field. So it's hard to judge what he would look like at the NFL level when he's just throwing literally everybody who comes near him.
You know
what's
kind
of like Ben Bartsch last year.
You know what? I was about to make the same statement, except, you know, we've seen Ben Bartsch come in. Like, every time there's a guy we love that's like D2 or 3, they usually come in and have great weeks, like Bartsch did, Kappa did. Marpet did. Like all these guys came up and showed up. So I think it's Quinn Meinerz's turn.
The NFL will find you if you can do it.
I'm so happy he's there, because I was worried he wasn't going to be. We both thought he should be in the summer, and then it was a late one, and it was the happiest I was about any of the announcements.
I'm ready to see him kind of bring that same edge we saw a couple of years ago with Lindstrom and Reisner.
Yeah, I think we might get some of that, like, because there's so many alpha dogs in
there's
the IOL.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, so I think we're going to get
a lot of them are motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's fun. And flipping to the American, I went with Deontay Brown, who I think is a motherfucker, and he's wide as a fridge. And kind of simple. I want to see him against Marvin Wilson, and it's more so I want to see Marvin Wilson against him, because if he can look good against the best of the best, we already said it, he is a good chance there. And I think Deontay Brown and Ben Cleveland, who are both on the American team, are going to go out and wreck shit. I think they're going to look amazing, and I think we're going to start seeing both of them in the late 20s mock talk, and I don't think that's ridiculous at all. I have early second round grades on both of them.
And let me throw one more SEC guard at you from the American, Trey Smith.
Yeah.
Who, I mean, entering the year, we're talking about him as a potential first round guy.
Yep.
Things didn't go super great at Tennessee, and he definitely has some shortcomings, specifically in pass protection, his overall athleticism, and so that's why I put him versus Marvin Wilson, because if Trey Smith, like, I know Trey Smith is going to be a legitimate grader, truck, I don't know, what is the term?
Road grader.
Thank you, AJ. He's going to be at the next level, but does he have the feet, does he have the bend to hold up in pass protection against longer, more athletic defensive linemen? So I end up putting him against Marvin Wilson.
No, that's a good one. And
this guard group's sick, though. Like, Smith, Cleveland, and Deontay Brown can be top 50 picks.
Definitely. Yeah, I think they all will be, to be honest.
And if Landon Dickerson didn't get hurt, he'd be in that group, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm excited about Trey Smith, too. I was going to mention him. I will mention him later when we do our individual superlatives. I think. I can't remember.
Sick.
I should have scrolled down before I said that. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. So you got to stay tuned.
That's called a tease.
No, I'm excited about him.
Who do you have for edge versus tackle for the National?
For the National, I you know what? I changed it up a bit. I put Liam Eikenberg because, you know, he's just the steady man, do everything. But I don't think he's the top guy, but he could come out of the week as the top tackle there. I changed it up. I put Hamilcar Rashid because I want to see what he's got. And I want to see what he's got against someone that's technically sound and just steady man, and it's easy going for him. And I want to see if Rashid, if he's developed the pass rush moves anymore and if he can flash the athleticism against him.
Yeah, it's not like we saw much Oregon State this year.
No.
Guy plays with his hair on fire. Obviously a great athlete. Bit undersized.
Yeah.
And lacks the kind of the toolbox of pass rush plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is a very good, the steady Eddie versus the high upside guy.
Yeah. And they're like, he's maybe more of the inconsistent high upside guy. So we got some mm-hmm. of the high upside guys that do it play to play, though. But yeah.
Yeah. I put Spencer Brown versus Rashad Weaver mainly because, I mean, Spencer Brown didn't get to play this year because Northern Iowa didn't play. 6'8", 320. We've heard just a freak of an athlete. I like his tape. I have him closer to a day three guy than a day one guy, though.
Yeah.
And I know he's a little bit polarizing, so I want to see how he handles a guy who can rush with power and pop behind his hands, because I think Spencer Brown, a big question for me is his anchor and his bend. So if Rashad Weaver can get up underneath him, I think it'll mm-hmm. be a tough matchup for Brown. But if Brown proves to use that length and that athleticism to handle a guy who's built like an NFL pass rusher like Weaver, I think it'll do wonders.
He can make a lot of money this week.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, jump into the American. What you got?
I kept this one simple. I put kind of best on best, in my opinion. Alex Leatherwood, Bama. Against Boogie Basham, baby, because
me too.
Best on best there. I want to see that. And I kind of, like, I don't know. I feel like people have slipped on Boogie a little bit. And I know not really in stock, but he doesn't get the love. Because he's one of the guys that we've just seen him do it for so long, and he's been talked about for so long that you kind of, you get the talk quiets on. So I want to see him reignite that. And Leatherwood, you know, there's the guard talk and all that. So he's going out there to prove people wrong that he is a tackle. And the Senior Bowl itself fucked up and called him a guard center or something and then negged.
Oh, yeah.
That was all stupid, too. So I think they wanted to light a fire. Jim's playing 4D chess here. He knows what he's doing.
I went with the same because, we've seen Boogie Basham for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to blow you away athletically, but freaking built like a house.
Yep.
With awesome hands, plays with great leverage, great effort. Seeing that against a guy like Leatherwood who has some length questions.
Yep.
Has some questions, I think, about like his physicality.
Yeah.
Which I think he did a pretty good job this year, kind of taking that up a notch. But I think he has to prove he's not a tackle. And this season, he didn't look like he's not a tackle. Mm-hmm. So let's see what he can do as a tackle.
Yeah. No, exactly.
Okay, moving to running back versus linebacker. When I think about this one, yes, I think about coverage, but I also think about blitz pickup.
That's a good one. I honestly, I just try to put in coverage. But yeah, I...
Ooh, AJ.
Guess what, Rob? This one works both ways, baby.
It's a passing league, says AJ. Where they send the running backs to catch.
Who's the best pass-catching running back there easily? It's Felton, so I put him there. Who's the best linebacker on the national team? Surratt. So I want to see those two go up against it. And hey, Surratt's a good blitzer. Felton, he's okay. He's okay as a pass blocker.
You think Chaz Surratt's the best linebacker in the national team?
Yeah. Who do you have?
Tough Borland.
Oh, okay. The king.
Did you not see him in coverage? Yeah, no, I think Chaz
Surratt. For a second, I'm like, wait, I'm like, is Joke there and I don't know? Like what's going on? No. I was like, wait, what? Yeah, no. But so I think that's the premier matchup, both in coverage and, like you said, as a blitzer. That's a good one.
And I went with Chaz Surratt against his teammate Michael Carter, who is one of my favorite players. Michael Carter is small, but he is also one of the best pass protecting running backs in the class. So I want to see him against Chaz Surratt, who's one of the best blitzing linebackers in the class.
Yep.
And that's just a car crash ready to happen. Plus, Michael Carter has shown the ability to be an impactful pass catcher. Reminds me a little bit of one of my favorite running backs in the league, and Nyheim Hines. Chaz Surratt's one of the most athletic linebackers. You can't not pick Chaz Surratt, and you can pretty much pick any of the national running backs because all the good ones are in the national.
Yeah, they did a really, really bad job of splitting it.
I don't get it. I don't even think Najee Harris is going to do things.
But
I don't, because why aren't all the Alabama guys on national or American? They're split up.
I told you my conspiracy map is going to be
okay.
No, but I think they definitely just put Najee on the national team because they're trying to get Miami to pick him. But and I think that's kind of what they did. Is you can kind of see it is that if Carolina has a need, they went heavier on that side. If Miami has a need, they went that way. And I think Miami got the better team overall too, but. Yeah. Anyways, but yeah. So it's kind
that's of a good theory.
Not as good as a matchup on the Americans. Like that's Carter or Felton against Surratt. That's a headline matchup. So I kind of changed it up. I put Kylan Hill, who opted out midseason. Didn't see him too much, but he was in that Mike Leach offense and he caught a lot of balls this year. I think the most he caught all in his career. So I want to see him.
He quit the team about four games in.
Yeah, that's what I said. Opted out. I said it nicely. You know who I put him against? Our favorite player in the world, Paddy Fisher, baby, because I want to see him. And I think he's going to – first of all, it's a hard one to find in a good matchup on this side. But I want to see him in coverage, and I think he's going to come with a fire in his belly. I think it's going to be fun.
Okay. That's good. I went with Elijah Mitchell mainly because I think he's the most interesting of the American running backs.
Yeah.
He's the guy I think has the chance to go highest. But he's also coming from the group of five. So I want to, and not necessarily known for his pass catching ability. So I want to see how he catches the ball.
Yep.
And I want to see him against Jabril Cox, who obviously jumped from the FCS to the SEC this year, and on a bad LSU defense, he stood out as probably one of their three best players. At least.
Definitely. Yeah.
Really long, really athletic, versatile guy. So I want to see how he covers. Again, like it's not like Elijah Mitchell's a great pass catcher, but just seeing Jabril Cox work in space will be fun.
And it's the Battle of Louisiana.
Yeah, that too. That's actually what I think.
Quickly going back to Kylan Hill, I still see a lot of like quiet Kylan Hill fans, and I've never been there. So that's why I want him to prove me wrong this week.
Okay, receiver versus corner, which is the second best after O line D line. Who do you have for national?
I put for receiver. I put Sage Surratt. I just want to see him on the football field again because he's fun as fuck. And hey, I Rodarius Williams. I think he's the alpha dog at corner.
Same.
I think he's the alpha dog. So I want to see. I think that's the matchup, man.
Is the matchup.
Yes, Rodarius Williams great. Like covering deep. He's a long guy too. Sorry?
Long press man guy against one of the height, weight, speed freaks of this receiver class.
Yeah.
Who, like you said, we haven't seen play in a year. Versus Rodarius Williams coming off one of the best years a corner had in college football.
Exactly. Yeah, and he's the oldest guy there, so let's say.
There's a lot of length at corner, right?
There is, definitely. And that's,
that must get you excited.
It does, baby. It does.
Okay, the American side, more interesting, I think, at least in terms of receiver.
Yeah, no, definitely. I actually, this is like the only one where I put an alt matchup, but so I was going to audible to see where you went. But you know what? My they're both great matchups. But I'll say Cornell Powell against Melifonwu. I think that's going to be a fun one. Both guys trying to prove themselves this week. Yeah.
Yeah. Melifonwu's got a guy with a chance to really help himself. And another long corner, 6'3".
Yeah.
And Powell's a guy who you kind of talked up all year. And
I like
isn't
him a
getting
lot.
Maybe the same. Yeah, he's not getting maybe the same respect as previous Clemson receivers. But had an awesome year and looked great against Ohio State in that loss. I'm excited to see him in one-on-one because I think he's an underrated route runner.
Yeah, he showed off the route running pretty big, and he's a physical dude, and Melfon was too. So I think that's going to be a ton of fun.
Like I don't know where you at, pal, but I think he's like could legitimately be a day two guy.
I have him in the early fourth, so yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's where I have him too.
Yeah. Do you like Rodgers or Powell more?
It's funny. I have Powell one slot ahead of him.
That's Rodgers. Weird. That's funny. I like Powell. I'm still not that sold on Amari Rodgers, but we'll touch on that later.
Ooh, another teaser.
You got to keep listening.
Like I did with the running backs for the American, I kept that Louisiana. I'm keeping this Florida. Kadarius Toney against Aaron Robinson.
That was my alt. Good thing I put two.
Kadarius Toney's the most exciting, probably, guy there.
Yeah.
The highest upside receiver there could be a first-round pick. Aaron Robinson also could be a first-round pick, a guy who, as more people dive in, I think they will also fall in love with him because he plays legitimately every – like, he'll line up outside corner on the left one play. Now he's nickel. Now he's playing linebacker. Now he's lining up outside corner on the right. Like, he's going from boundary – He's to field, to nickel, to safety, to line. Like, he does everything. And, again, he's an Alabama transfer, so there's some SEC to this matchup as well.
That's a good one. And, hey, Toney.
He's also physical as hell, and I love him.
I think that those two, I kind of went sneaky with Paolo Melifondo. I think Toney Robbins is probably the headliner.
I think so, too. But that was a good sneaky alt pick.
That's why I put two, okay. Baby.
The matchup that probably won't happen, tight end versus safety.
Okay, I'll paint the picture, though, okay? It's Thursday night in Blacksburg. Enter Sandman's blasting through the speakers. We got Hunter Long versus Divine Diablo, and it's a fucking war, baby. Tell me that doesn't get you hyped.
I mean, the only option here was you could decide between Long or Yeboah for tight end.
Yeah.
And then it had to be in Stevan Diablo, though.
Yeah, I know. So that's why I went for the ACC connection. An old Big East connection, yeah.
I did Yeboah, so.
Good. I'm glad you did. I think Hunter Long's my top tight end there. I love Kenny Yeboah, too, though. I think Yeboah – I mean, he's been rising all year. I think he's going to keep doing it, though.
And getting a guy like Divine Diablo, who is massive for a safety.
Yep.
Who played a lot of overhang and in the box for Virginia Tech. Really great tackler, but all his questions come up with athleticism and cover ability.
Yep.
So seeing against two of the best pass-catching tight ends in the country, Yeboah is obviously a great athlete. Hunter Long's like a power forward.
Yep.
They're two different styles of tight ends. So really just seeing Diablo, how he handles each of them will be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's like, if I had to pick one matchup on either team, that's the one.
With the American, it's good safety choices.
Yeah, the tight ends aren't great, though. So I put Bowling Green's own Quinton Morris, yes, and I put him against Hampson and Zeraldine, which is...
Me too.
Yeah, it felt like the easy one.
Quinton Morris gets the bump to this because he's a former receiver, and that's basically how I made the decision.
And former basketball player.
Ooh, and you know, we like guys who can dunk. I wasn't blown away by his tape at Bowling Green, but I did like that he lined up all over the place, that he's a former receiver. He's clearly a good athlete. And seeing him against Nasir Aldean, who's a freak, who's massive, who's just dealt with so many injuries.
Yeah.
Seeing that matchup would be good.
Nasiruddin's got one of the biggest weeks there.
Yes. I like, this is a tease as well, Adrian. I love one of the safeties on the American team.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
It'll be at the very end, so now you have to listen to the whole show.
We hooked him, Rob. Good work.
It took a while, but we got him.
We got him.
If they're still listening.
they have to be.
Okay, before we jump into our position by position, let me remind you, 'tis the season to be betting online. So, to bet online, head to Bet Online, where you can bet on college basketball. You've got the AFC and NFC championship happening in a couple hours as you listen, or maybe they've already happened. But after that, you've got the Super Bowl, the prop bets. I don't know if you can bet on the Senior Bowl. If you email AJ, AJ will hook you up.
I'll be taking all Senior Bowl bets, even just how we grade practices. You can bet on everything with me.
But hey, for betting on real things where you actually want to make money, head to Bet Online and use promo code Armchair to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses.
Yeah, go to betonline.ag, not betwithaj.aj. I fucked that up. Shit.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
I just wanted to let that breathe for a second. Okay, let's do position by position, starting with the wonderful quarterback group. Which group do you think is better, the National or the American?
It's obviously the American, Rob. The American is Kellen Mond, who might be more interesting than any Nationals quarterback. And then we got Trask, Newman, and Mac Jones. So, I mean, it's not even close. And hey, look, it's clearly because they want to give Carolina the look at quarterbacks.
It's true, but hey, they're probably going to have to trade up if they want to draft an actual franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and
especially now that Stafford's on the move.
Or maybe they trade for Matt Stafford.
Ooh.
So a lot of teams that could be on Stafford. Anyways, that's not what the show's about.
Save it for the Stafford show when we have to fill time in a couple weeks. Okay, I agree. It's obviously the American. For the most talented and or highest rated quarterback, I think it's quite obviously, again, Mac Jones.
I put from, like, if you go, like, highest rated, it's easily Mac Jones. If you go most talented, Jamie Newman's got the best arm talent.
Well, I ended up putting him for the biggest riser of this group just because, again, he's going to be the one who gets to show off those physical tools. And nobody, Kellen Mond's probably got the next best physical. Felipe Franks has a has a hose.
True.
But combination of athleticism, arm talent, and at least good tape, you got to go Jamie Newman. So I think that's fair to say he's the most talented, and that's why I think he'll be the biggest riser of the week.
He's most likely the biggest riser. If I had to bet on one guy just helping his stock solely, I'm going to say Mac Jones because I think he's the best guy there. And I think he does have a chance to, you know, go from that, maybe he's a late second-round guy to, like, there's still a shot he sneaks into the end of the first round. I don't think he's that type of quarterback, but he is a quarterback, and we see that happen a lot.
Okay, this is a little, not one of our questions here, but of this quarterback group on the national team, do you think any of them get drafted?
You know, I was going to ask,
for the record, Sam Ellinger, Ian Book, and Felipe Franks.
I was going to ask you the same question. If we're playing the odds, I'm going to say yes. I mean, look, it's the NFL. They're going to draft Ian Book to be a backup.
I think you can make the same argument for Sam Ellinger.
You can. Like, that's what I mean. One of them will get drafted.
If you had to draft one, who would you draft? Like, who's got the most potential to at least last in the league as a competent-ish backup? A Chase Daniel, so he's not really playing, but you're paying him.
I'll say Ian Book.
I think so, too, but I think at the end of the day, if I'm swinging on one of these guys, I'd swing on Felipe Franks.
I respect that.
He's the biggest with the biggest arm.
Sure, he is.
Can't teach arm talent, AJ. Or arm strength, I shouldn't call it talent. Okay, who's your personal favorite of the quarterback?
Mac Jones.
Okay, mine's Jamie Newman. I really enjoy watching Jamie Newman. I really liked him entering the year. I was super excited to see him with Todd Monken at Georgia. We didn't get to, but there's so much pure talent there.
The ball just, like, jumps out of his hand. It's pretty ridiculous.
Plus, I fall in love with the way Wake runs that delayed zone read.
I mean, most approved, we both had Mac Jones as the top guy. So to go opposite, I put Kyle Trask here because
me too.
Yeah, it's
he obviously was on pace to get way overhyped this season, and then really killed himself in the bowl game. With the right week, I think the fourth round's possible. Like, I don't know. He doesn't have a great arm. I don't know, but maybe he'll look good in short. Like, he has good mechanics.
He's big.
He is big.
I don't love his feet at times, though.
I think the problem is Mac Jones is way more accurate and a better decision maker.
Yeah.
And Jamie Newman's way more physically talented, and so is Kellen Mond. So
yeah,
it's going to be hard to stand out in this group. It doesn't help him that these are the quarterbacks he's with.
No, that's a good point. And for sleeper, I put Kellen Mond, who kind of... Yeah, like the only one like that's a deeper. He's not deeper, but you know what I mean. There's only seven guys there.
I put Felipe Franks. I'm banging the table.
That's the deepest sleeper, so I respect that. And yeah, but Mond, I think actually can go in and have a really nice week and help himself.
I think Felipe Franks can seal the deal, and the Eskimos of Edmonton will draft him.
Hey, they're just the Edmonton football team now. Please,
are they actually?
Yeah.
I did not even know that. I apologize.
They're looking for a new name. Any suggestions, Rob?
I'm not a good CFL fan. The Edmonton Oil Workers. Oh, wait. Sorry, the Edmonton Oilers.
I think
moving to running back, AJ.
No, yeah, this we'll have this show where we're renaming CFL teams. ask your questions, Rob.
Better team group again. It's like the quarterbacks up top. It's obvious they've stacked the national team. The Americans got one definite guy who will get drafted, but the Nationals got multiple guys who could go top 100.
Yeah, exactly. So, they got good quarterbacks to hand them off to the National. Like, I think Ian Book's good at handing the ball off. He's got a good back. So I think that this works. Yeah, but Nationals not even close. I mean, most talented is obviously Najee Harris, but we don't know if he's going to be practicing.
Okay, yeah. So let's and again, it's obvious it's Najee Harris. Najee Harris probably the best running back in this class. We don't know if he'll practice, so pick somebody else. Let's pick somebody else.
Michael Carter.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. He's my highest rated after Najee.
I
love him. The thing, though, is
yeah.
because he's a little smaller and
yep.
maybe more viewed in that satellite role, Ramondre Stevenson ends up being the first back taken not named Najee Harris.
So, funny that you brought this up. I graded Michael Carter and Ramondre Stevenson pretty much evenly, like dead heat, same grade. I think they're both top 100 guys. I love Ramondre Stevenson.
I knew you would. And obviously, I love Michael Carter. I think they both are as well. I have Michael Carter above Ramondre Stevenson by one slot.
Dude, I swear to God, that's where I am now too. It's neck and neck.
I got Harrison Etienne, then Javonte Williams,
yep.
Kenny Gainwell, Michael Carter, Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, like I think they're both gonna go in the mid. I mid third round grades on them, and I love them both. And hey, draft them both because they'd be a hell of a fucking duo.
This also just reminds me, I'm sad that Trey Sermon is no longer a part.
I know. And I have Trey Sermon right there with both of them, too. Me too.
I have him right behind Stevenson.
That's so funny. So I have it Carter, Stevenson, Sermon, and, like, all three of them grayed out so, so close for me. And, like, I think they're all mid-third round guys.
Yeah. Like, all can be instant impact guys.
See, yeah. That's funny because when I was watching them, I was like, am I too high? I know you're a Michael Carter fan. I knew you were going to be a Trey Sermon fan, but... like, am I too high? Because, like, people don't like this running back group. But I have these three guys I really like in, like, the third round here.
No, Carter, Stevenson, Harris. And I've got Demetric Felton as my biggest riser of the week. Like, I think
he's
really good. Like, a really fun running back group on the national team, at least.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, like, obviously Felton's the best pass catcher, not even close.
Yeah. And that's why he's going to stand out. He's going to be the best route runner. Hopefully they move him around a little bit like that, and like I think he can be a James White type running back. Like I think he's a day three guy, but I think in with the right team he can be an impact guy. He's got big time burst too.
Yeah, like obvious role play for him. Yeah, like I have a
kick returner too.
Yeah, so my comp is Tony Pollard light on him, and like I got like a late fourth on him. I liked Demetric Felton. I have him for biggest riser too.
Your Stevenson. Personal favorite, is it Stevenson? Yeah.
I mean, it's Najee Harris, but not including him, it's Ramondre Stevenson. Yeah.
You just love bowling balls.
He's
He'd be a great fit in Seattle.
He would be.
And I put Michael Carter, who's probably one of my five favorite players in the whole draft.
I love Michael Carter, too. I think Stevenson's up there for me. I really love him.
If they run angry and they can play for the Seahawks, they can play for AJ.
But, man, he's huge and, like, he runs like he's 210. Yeah, he's quick.
Yeah, he's quick. He's quick on his feet. He's got great feet for a big boy.
I love him.
Oh, the other thing is I'm excited to see what these guys actually measure in at.
Yeah, no, that's especially because we've heard Stevenson anywhere from 240 to 250. Like, that's a lot of fun. Felton, too, is question.
Stevenson, we heard he was 230.
Yeah.
But he's listed at 245. He could be heavier. No idea. Michael Carter. Similar, is Michael Carter 5'8", 190? Is he 5'10", 200? I don't know.
Can I also say, I don't think Najee Harris was playing at 230 this year.
He looks sleeker.
Yeah, he looks sleeker. And not
220.
Like 220. I'm not saying it's a bad thing at all, but
No.
Seeing Harris measure in, I'm excited about that. I fucking love Najee Harris. I already knew
he's
did.
He's the coolest guy in the class.
Yeah, I love him so much. I really, really love him. Yeah.
Love running backs.
I do. I like this group. I do love running backs. I mean, I think there's a lot of good value here. And I put most approved Kylan Hill because, again, I don't like him. So this is most approved to AJ because there are people who still like him, and he just doesn't get the juices flowing like any of these guys that I just wax poetic about.
And I put Elijah Mitchell for this because most people, obviously coming from the group of five, he's a guy who's in a lot of people's top 10 running backs.
I like Elijah Mitchell. So that's a good one.
I think I'm lower on him than the consensus.
I'm not that high on him, but I like him, if that makes any sense.
You just like Billy Napier.
That's true, too.
And then finally, sleeper.
Captain America, baby. Chris Evans. I had to pick Chris Evans. He's talented. And
I liked him 3 years ago.
Me too. And I thought he could be a potential, fourth round pick. So I think the talent is there, and he's barely played, and whatever the fuck happened there. It's kind of cool that he got to Mobile, though. Like, I think that's fun, and he's got a chance to make a name for himself there.
I put Khalil Herbert. I think he's an interesting day three option, one cut and hit it type dude. He's got quickness, he's got burst. I want to see how he catches the ball, because I think that's going to be have a huge impact on where he's drafted.
Barely did it. Where do you have Herbert right now?
Round grade?
Yeah.
Late day three, like sixth round.
Okay, I like him more than you. I like him in the fifth. I think he's just kind of like a well-rounded dude. Like you said, one cut and go. But pass catching is going to be the question for him.
Okay, moving to receivers, where we got tons of them. Better team group.
I put the American, but it's kind of close.
I put the National.
I think you can toss up. I didn't count Devonta Smith, obviously.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah, because then it's obviously National. But Kadarius Toney is the best receiver there to me, so that kind of just put him over the top. I love Powell.
I knew you. It makes sense to me that you would pick the American, because you love Toney, you love Powell.
I love Austin Watkins.
You do love Austin Watkins.
Josh Palmer from Brampton.
You love Racy McMath's special teams upside.
Stevenson is kind of not getting too much talk, but he'll be interesting to watch there too.
I end up picking the National because I really love Dwayne Eskridge, the Western Michigan receiver. I love Tylan Wallace. I know you do too. I know you love Frank Darby too.
I love Frank Darby. And
Sage Surratt might be my favorite receiver there.
This is the most well-balanced group because you could really flip a coin.
And Cade Johnson, I think, is an awesome slot option on day three.
Yeah.
And really, pick your poison with the American and National in terms of which tall receiver has the best special teams upside between Racy McMath and Ben Skowronek.
Ben Skowronek, maybe a tight end convert, but he's not even that tall. I don't know.
He looked bigger than I realized.
What is he listed at?
Like, heavier, I mean.
What's he look like? Is he 6'3"?
6'3", 220.
Yeah. He's just like a big receiver size.
I didn't even mention with the National, Nico Collins, who opted out, and he was a guy who had tons of hype entering the year.
Big time recruit.
Another height, weight, speed guy with great hands. Him and Sage Surratt, both big guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And jumping to the American, I love Shai Smith. He might be my favorite receiver on the American.
It's a good awesome fucking group. Yeah, it's really awesome. Good. And you love Trevon Grimes.
Yeah, well, Ohio State blood, so yeah.
There you go. Most talented, Kadarius Toney.
Not even close. Okay, but I think the most interesting question of the entire thing is which receiver rises the most of the week?
Dwayne Eskridge, and I feel I feel pretty good about it, though. But there's a lot of guys that could, would you be surprised if Austin Watkins, really makes a name for himself there?
I think Cade Johnson, Dwayne Eskridge. I think Frank Darby, just because people haven't talked about him in a while because they didn't really play.
Frank Darby's clearly my sleeper because I love him so much.
I think Cornell Powell could fit this too, and I think Shai Smith could.
Definitely. It's a really, really good group.
I figure we both land on Eskridge because he's got game-changing speed, though.
Yes, exactly. And, it's already starting. It feels all set up for him to be one of the biggest risers in the whole group in Mobile. Yeah.
And the thing is, about him is the speed gets all the focus, but he's a very solid route runner. I really like his toolbox of releases, and he just needs to prove he's a little more consistent with his hands.
Yeah, no, very true.
Who's your personal favorite?
Kadarius Toney. I love so many of these guys. Okay. If I had to choose one, I'd say Toney.
I picked Surratt. I fell in love with him last year. Just a freak of an athlete, unbelievable hands, awesome ball adjustment and body control ability. Yep. I see my Josh Gordon, DK Metcalf vibes all over again. To a lesser extent, so, but I still think, like, I think he's a guy who's just been kind of forgotten about, who I think is a potential second-round pick.
Yeah, like, everyone had him as a top 70 guy in the summer, and then, yeah, just because he opted out, everyone forgot it.
Okay, most approved?
I put two. I put Amari Rodgers because I want him to prove it to me. I know there's a lot of, like, top 100 talk. I don't see it. I liked him more this year. I thought he had a really good year and, like, really improved himself this season, but I still think he's like a fifth-round guy. I like the talent, so I want to see that. And I think overall, I put Tylan Wallace, like, most approved to the NFL.
And here comes the Tylan Wallace train. Oh, boy.
We've been on it for 2 years, 3 years? How many years have it been?
Oh, yeah. To me, he's got to show that the speed questions aren't a concern, because he's a good enough route runner to create separation. And he can keep that speed through the routes.
Yeah.
More consistent hands, too, although he is fantastic and fearless through contact.
Yep.
I just want to see – he had some drops throughout his career.
And flip side of that, Rodgers, I want to see him run routes, and I want to see him catch the ball consistently and make impressive catches, yeah.
But both of them torn ACLs, too, so keep that in mind.
That's a good point, yeah.
Okay, who's your sleeper?
Frank fucking Darby, baby. There's no one else to even consider. I love Frank Darby so much. I thought he was going to be one of the biggest risers of the season, and Arizona State, just they didn't play. So I think he's going to go out and look awesome, man. I still believe in him big time.
I picked Cade Johnson because he's a guy who obviously didn't play this year because South Dakota State didn't play.
Yep.
Built to be an NFL slot receiver, I think might have the best hands of the non-Devonta Smiths because Devonta Smith's not practicing. I think he might have the best hands in Mobile, so let's find out. And I also want to see how he handles bigger DBs. I'd love to see Aaron Robinson against him, who's physical as hell with length. And I want to see more crisp route running from him because I think he's got unbelievable hands and body control. But he at least in 2019, I thought he could have improved his route running in 2020.
That's a good one. I like that.
Okay, tight ends, AJ's favorite. Okay, AJ, tell us why you think the Americans got the best tight end group.
It's not even close. It's the national team. They got the better fullback too, baby.
The only real true fullback.
The American team, I don't know what was going on. They couldn't win here.
What's your grade on Ben Mason?
First.
Same. Okay, yeah, I mean, the American is four guys who might get drafted on late day three.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Nationals got two tight ends who could go on day two, and a third who I think's interesting, Tony Poldon.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
I said his name really quick because I don't know how to say it.
Me neither. I was smart. You shouldn't have
Poldon said or Poland. Is the J silent?
Polian? I don't know. Bill Polian. Yeah. Let's go through this quick. We don't have to spend a shit ton of time on this. Most talented, I put Hunter Long. Who'd you put?
And I put Kenny Yeboah.
And biggest riser, I put Kenny Yeboah. I think he's going to go in.
And I put Hunter Long.
And I think that's how it should be. Who's your favorite, though? That's the toughest one for me.
Yeboah. I really like Yeboah. I think he's a really interesting move tight end.
Yeah.
Really great athlete, obviously. Big statistical jump.
What a money transfer. That was big time.
I have them right after each other. Like, my tight ends right now are Pitts, Freiermuth, Brevin Jordan, Kenny Yeboah, Hunter Long.
I love it. Yeah, I think those are the top five guys. Me too. Yeah.
I will say one thing. I was so unimpressed with Hunter Long's ability as a blocker. So I really want to see him there.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because, I mean, he looks like he should be a good blocker.
I don't know if I just went in expecting he could block better. Kenny Yeboah also doesn't block that well, but I maybe expected it more.
Yeah, no, for sure. I put Hunter Long, personal favorite. Who'd you put for most to prove?
Tony Poland.
Me too.
Former quarterback, went to Central Michigan as a quarterback, converted to tight end, transferred to Virginia. A huge frame.
Yeah.
Solid hands. Like, massive catch radius. Just not a very good athlete. I thought he was, like, did not move well at all.
Mm-hmm.
And wasn't a very good route runner. To me, his future in the NFL is like a former Big Ten tight end who spent a decade blocking for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matt Spaeth.
similar frame.
Yeah.
And if he can prove he can block, that's how he'll make his money.
Agreed. Yeah, I think he's clearly the most proven. And Sleeper, did you put Quinton Morris?
Yeah, I mean, by law.
By law.
Although I think Kylan Granson is interesting as a more of like a move fullback.
Yeah, that's fair.
And Trey McKitty, like, again, I don't think any of these guys are going to get drafted, but like I have Kylan Granson my highest rated of the American, and that's mainly because he can do more than everybody else.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't know. I don't really love any of
the problem is none of them are like great blockers either.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, like, I've seen some people hinting that Trey McKitty's going to go in and be a big riser in MLB, but I don't know.
He just never really got the chances at Florida State or Georgia.
Yeah,
even at Georgia this year, he was overshadowed by the freshman Darnell Washington.
Yeah, sucks to suck.
Okay, that's enough of that. Offensive tackles, better group. I went with the National. It's just, I think, clearly deeper.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, like, at the top, it's better, too. Like Leatherwood, Leatherwood's my top guy.
Me too.
But you know, it's Eichenberg.
But there's a big drop-off after him.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the National, it's Eichenberg, Radins, Hudson, Spencer Brown. So, like, that's all money.
Who's, and even after those, like, I like Adrian Ealy and Brennan James a little bit. Who's your second tackle from the American? Oh, Lyric Jackson.
Yeah, it? You know I love Lyric. But I think he's a guard, and you ruined it, but yeah, he's clearly my sleeper. So.
I think Royce Newman's also a guard. I also think Jalen Moore and Deontay Smith are guards.
Yeah. No,
Dan Moore might be. Carson Green we don't have on a team yet. I'm assuming he'll be American.
Yeah, because he's with, I assume so, with the Tamu guy. Yeah.
I guess. Actually, Dan Moore and Carson Green, I'm interested to see a little bit. The two Tamu guys.
The Maroon Goons, baby. Yeah, I think they'll be fun there.
Yeah. But yeah, most talented is Alex Leatherwood. My biggest rise was James Hudson because I just think he's got more upside than a lot of these other guys.
Mine too, yeah.
I really like this tape, and I think if he went back, like he could have had a little bit of first-round hype. Just a really athletic guy. Michigan transfer.
Yep.
I want to see him improve those hands and improve that anchor. Those are my two big concerns this week for him.
And stop making dumb penalties, correct.
Who's your personal favorite?
You know, I don't have a guy I really love in either team. I like a lot of them.
And we make up for it by loving all the guards?
Yeah, exactly. So I split it between Radins and Eichenberg because I didn't put them anywhere else.
I put Eichenberg.
Okay, I think that's fair. I gave the small. I love small school guys, especially offensive linemen and quarterbacks. So I like Radins. I've never been as hot. I've never been the first round talk with him though. But I still like
that's
him.
That's the problem. Yeah. I like him too. I'm not there with him.
It's true. If he wasn't getting mocked in the first round since the summer, I'd probably absolutely love Radins. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like Eichenberg because I think he could just be a 10-year vet at offensive tackle, like a Jack Conklin type tackle. Just a really good run blocker. He's got shortcomings in pass protection, no question. But
yeah,
I think there will be some along with Leatherwood guard talk for him.
Yeah, no, I agreed. They're all guards, maybe.
Most approved, I put Spencer Brown for all the reasons we've already said. Tons of hype, great athlete, huge frame. Let's see how he holds up against some of these blue bloods.
Yeah, totally agree. And like I said, sleep.
But can I throw a comp at you for Spencer Brown, by the way?
Sure, yeah.
Nate Solder.
Okay, tall.
Really great athlete, really tall and long and lean. He's always had kind of pass protection issues, but was always a... very, very solid run blocker.
I like it. And like I said, sleeper's Lyric Jackson, who also might be a guard. But I still like him. I think there's something to him.
My sleeper is Brennan James.
You love Nebraska.
I do. I think he's a guard, though.
Everyone's a guard.
I came away like more impressed with his pass protection than I was expecting.
And just to throw it out, because we didn't mention, Dante Smith, the ECU tackle, he's apparently a freaky athlete, like in the weight room, so throw that out there. Maybe he's got something this week.
Okay, let's get to the interior offensive lineman
for an hour. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, which group's better?
tough. I put the American though because
I did too.
Yeah, like we talked. I love Deontay Brown. I love Ben Cleveland. I really like Trey Smith. So like that's just.
I think all yeah those to me, those are the three best guards in Mobile.
Agreed.
I think the National has a little bit better depth. And
yeah,
the better center.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I've never been a Jack Anderson fan, Texas Tech, but I know people are.
I know. Okay, most talented.
I split it between Deontay Brown and Ben Cleveland. I love
both I think of them. Trey Smith's right there, though. I think he's the most talented. I think you could argue any of the three, but I ended up with Trey Smith.
That's fair. I put them like this one. I went I more love the highest.
Ben Cleveland.
I love him so much. I mean, I put it more like my highest rated. Like, I legit have early second, and I wouldn't be surprised if they both end up with first-round grades for me.
Did I tell you who my Ben Cleveland comp is?
I can't remember if you did.
Do you want to guess? That seems really hard.
Give me the conference the guy played at. Why is this on the show?
ACC.
Fine. I don't know. I got nothing.
Wyatt Teller.
Oh, I think you did tell me. Yeah, and he's got that same, like, fucking upper body strength. Like, just pure tossing guys.
Exactly.
I love him.
Yeah, but yeah, I think you can argue any of those three guys. Okay. I put Ben Cleveland as my biggest riser of the week.
I did too.
Like, I don't know that people – it's not like people aren't talking about him.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they're talking about him enough.
Like
he's that good.
To throw it in there, like, Dame Brugler had him 98th on his board, and I think he's a top 50 player.
Let me see where I have him right now. Mind you, I haven't taken off the guy. I have him 37th on my board.
There you go. Yeah,
he's awesome.
I have a borderline first round grade on Ben Cleveland right now.
Yeah, me too. He's the best. God, we love Ben Cleveland.
I love Deontay Brown too. And I try to split it. I put Riser Cleveland. I put my personal favorite Deontay Brown because he's a fucking walking fucking safe. He's awesome.
I have Deontay Brown 58th on my board.
Fair enough. I think they're both like top 40 guys to me.
Do you want to hear my weird personal fave that I picked?
Yeah.
Aaron Banks. I love Aaron Banks. And I didn't know I was going to love Aaron Banks, and now I love Aaron Banks.
He's a good football player.
He's massive, too. Yeah. Why are they all so big? He's 6'6", 330. I thought he moved pretty well. To the second level, yep. And he's just flattening people. I have a bunch of questions about pass protection, so this will be a huge week for him. But I really like him. I have him like early fourth round.
Can I just add that I really think Deontay Brown's the perfect Mikey Potty replacement in Seattle?
Oh my god, we know AJ.
Do you want to hear my shut up? Do you want to hear my Deontay Brown comp, or do you not deserve it now?
No, I deserve it. Is it EJ Fluker?
No, it's not a good one. It's Michael Onwenu plus side Michael Onwenu, who was wide as hell and obviously had an amazing year. I don't think Brown's going to go in and play all over the offensive line anymore. But I didn't think Onwenu would either. But just wide body guards that are better than everyone thinks. But I mean, Brown's the hype is going to come, obviously. But yeah.
Okay, most approved. I put Quinn Miners.
Okay, I put Creed Humphrey, just to kind of reignite that stock.
Okay.
And you know what? You can even throw Trey Smith in here, who I really like, but another guy who, you know, used to be. We already
medicals will be huge, too.
And the medicals, exactly.
Okay, sleeper. I put David Moore.
I put Quinn Miners.
I like David Moore. There's something to David Moore. I think David Moore might be a center option.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up earlier, and I forgot. All FCS David Moores are good. That's my take.
That's a good take. Okay, jump in defensive. Interior defensive line.
Let's get through this quick.
Better team group, I picked the American. Just because, like, I think I put Levi Onwuzurike for the most talented.
Me too.
But I put the American over the National because I think we stuck Malik Herring in this group too, the Georgia defensive lineman. I like his versatility. I think he's perfect to be a, just a rotational guy. And then I think Marlon T's a classic nose, and Marvin Wilson is maybe the most interesting.
That's right. And you know what? It's kind of a bit awesome. I'll go National. I think, I mean, Onwuzurike's the best, so that's easy.
Yes.
And I think Osa, I can't say his name, Odeshua, UCLA, is still interesting. I don't love his tape, but he's still an interesting guy.
Him and Malik Herring are the two guys we kind of threw in this group because there's not enough interior defensive line.
Yeah, and you know they'll be getting reps there.
Exactly. Okay, biggest riser. I put Marlon T.
I put Osa, if I'm even saying his name right. UCLA.
I just put Marlon T just because I think he's obviously got the tools to be a starting nose in the NFL.
Yeah.
Great leverage, tons of power, great effort.
Yeah.
And if he stands out with a little bit of pass rush, that could help him a ton.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Personal favorite, I put Levi. Who'd you put?
I put Malik Herring just because I love a late day three defensive lineman who I can play all over.
That's a good point. Marvin
Wilson's most approved.
Obviously. Sleeper, there's only six guys. Who'd you pick?
I put none.
Yeah, that's a fair. You know, I'm agreeing. I put Marlon, okay. And I said, I don't know, laugh out loud. That's exactly what I wrote. Let's move on.
Sick. Okay, jumping to the edge group.
Tons of them.
It was tough, but I ended up not picking one, I'm just realizing. So who did you pick?
It was tough. I ended up making a decision, and I didn't cop out. I chose the National, and I think just a little bit deeper. And I like the Notre Dame guys. I think they're kind of underrated right now, especially Dalen Hayes.
I'm going to go ahead and take the American now just to be different.
Yep.
I think both William Bradley King and Peyton Turner are really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I love Cam Sample. Like, that's a guy I'm banging the table for. Boogie Basham, we already talked a lot about him. And Jordan Smith might have the highest upside of anyone there.
Yeah, no, for sure. This group is split really well.
Yeah, it is. It is. Good job, Jim. You got one group right. Okay, most talented and or highest rated. Who do you have? This is a little tougher.
Yeah, I kind of opted to the highest rated. I put Boogie Basham.
Okay, I have Rashad Weaver, but I think it's one of them.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And I'm ready for – I think there's going to be a couple big risers from this group. And, I mean
– Well,
yeah.
It's interesting because we've got the big powerful guys with great hands like Boogie and Rashad Weaver, but we've got the like Quincy Roche and Shaq Atone are undersized but great athletes. We've got just guys oozing with potential like Jordan Smith and Peyton Turner.
I put Peyton Turner from a base riser.
Okay, I put Jordan Smith, so that works perfectly. Both of which are going to be like 6'6", 250, 260. Yeah. And, I mean, Jordan Smith's a Florida transfer, too.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Patrick Jones is a little bit polarizing. What do you think of Patrick Jones?
That's a good opinion, because I'm not sure what I think about him yet.
I have him pretty high on my board. I really think he's explosive, twitchy, and has bend.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of the rare guy of this group who's got the athleticism and the size. The problem is the pass rush plan and kind of some questions with his power. But I think he's a guy who could really help as well. I didn't even put him anywhere. I just wanted to mention him.
No, that's a good point. I mean, who's your personal favorite?
Cam Sample. This is my chance. I didn't know anything about him. All I knew heading into watching him was his teammate, Patrick Johnson. Is someone I really like and a very fun football player. Cam Sample, 6'3", 280, plays in, plays out, balls to the wall effort, tons of power. His speed to power is awesome. I thought he played with great leverage. He's not going to wow you with twitch or bend, but just I got a comp on him too. Remember Charles Johnson with the Panthers? That's who I put down.
I like that. I put Cam Sample. I
love Cameron Sample.
I put him for my sleeper.
Well, he's not a sleeper anymore. Also, I didn't realize until we started got prepared for the show, is Deo the Vanderbilt edge isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Sad.
Couple guys that you didn't notice dropped out until they said the teams roster teams. Yeah.
Okay, who's got the most proof?
Hold on, I didn't see my favorite. But it's a lame one. I put Boogie. But I think, again, I want to go to that Notre Dame duo. I think I like those guys a lot. And I think they're underrated.
Well, who do you have higher?
Hayes.
I have Addy higher just because I think he's got more upside.
Fair enough.
Hayes is the safer guy.
Yeah.
Like, Hayes is going to play a while.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Sorry, most approve. I put the Smiths, Jordan Smith, because he's got to prove that he's this big riser and going up against the high-end talent. And again, we've already mentioned the offensive line is awesome. And I put Ellerson Smith, who was another was an FCS darling, and I like you see the talent there. I'm not that high on him, but he definitely has got a chance to go out there and look good.
I grouped a couple guys here. I put Roche, Tony, and Rashad because they're the three undersized guys who have a lot of athletic upside, but can they handle the bigger offensive linemen? We got some big offensive linemen for them to go up against. And they all three of them have had hype at different times. I think before the season we saw a lot of Rashad hype.
Yep.
Early in the season we saw a lot of Roche and Tony hype, and for all three of them it's kind of died down.
Yeah.
Who do you have highest on your board, Roche?
Sorry, I'm looking. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So and like all three of them are in the 230, 240 range, or at least they're listed there. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm ready for one of these guys to really emerge. I'm not in love with any of them.
Me neither.
To be honest, I'm just
I like Roche best, like by a decent margin, but I don't have a huge grade on him or anything.
Me neither. Who'd you put for sleeper?
I put William Bradley King. You know when you just throw somebody on and you don't really have like much expectation.
Yeah.
And then you're like, dude, this guy's got hands. This guy's got a pass rush plan. He's stiff. He's not a great athlete, but he's trying absolutely every fucking tool in the tool. Like he's trying everything. Like he didn't have a like mind-boggling stats or anything, but he kept applying some pressure. And I just thought he was like he had a speed to power move. He had an arm over. You saw swipe. You saw long arm, which really caught me by surprise because you don't see that a ton. I thought he was interesting.
That's fair. I kind of dig it too. Again, it's a hell of a group. I'm very.
Did you see? Do you have Peyton Turner here? Sorry.
Sleeper? No, I put Cam Sample.
Oh right. What do you mean sleeper? He's the most talented. What do you think of Peyton Turner?
I think he's really interesting.
He's huge.
Yeah, he's huge. I'm ready. Like I'm kind of using this week to really judge him. To be honest.
Yeah. Well, so many of these guys.
Which yeah.
Again, makes up for the interior D line. Okay, moving to linebacker. Better team group. I went with National because they got three Buckeyes.
I also went with National, but not because of that. More so because of Chazarat.
Chazarat. I think Chazarat and Baron Browning are the two highest upside linebackers there, and they're both on the National. Maybe Jabril Cox in that conversation.
Yeah, that's true. I think Cox, I didn't put him for any of our superlatives, but he's got a lot on the line this week. He could be a big riser.
Some people love him.
Yeah, I like him. I don't know. I don't want to say I love him, but I like him.
And we're both going to have Chazarat for most talented. I mean, the athleticism really stands out, and he's still learning the position. He plays with hair on fire. He's pretty solid in coverage. He's 6'3", 230. I mean, he's hard not to love, and he blitzes like a
MF. Yeah, he's so great. Biggest riser, I think, is an interesting one, though.
I went with Baron Browning because I think he's a really great athlete who didn't really get on the field full time until this season.
Yeah.
I thought he had a pretty good season. He also, I don't know how often we'll get to see him stick his hand in the dirt, but when he did it at Ohio State, he was a really impressive pass rusher. So I think that versatility, like he can play Sam, he can play Will, he can line up as a pass rusher. I think that'll help him a lot.
That's a good one. So I like Browning more, but I went again to Ohio State. I put Justin Hilliard, who came on.
Well, I put him for sleeper just because, like,
yeah,
he was added late. He's a guy who went to Ohio State as a 5-star and was like injured for 3 years.
Yeah,
got onto the field this season as the rotational guy, kind of as what Baron Browning was the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was playing even more late in the season. He's again, you can see the athleticism. I think he's a great tackler.
Yeah, he is. He is. I'm very interested in Justin Hillier, and I think he could be a big riser between now and April.
Personal favorite.
I had to put Patty Fisher.
I love it.
We've been talking about him for fucking years. It's just like, again, personal favorite doesn't mean anything other than he's my favorite. Like, that's it.
I put Riley Cole. I have Riley Cole quite high on my board.
I put him as a sleeper. I know he's not really a sleeper, but for the small school guys, I think he's going to be the biggest riser.
Spent a lot of time playing like a true edge role in 2019. Moved to more of a actual Mike linebacker role this season, and which helped him a lot. He's a fantastic tackler. I love the instincts. He is one of the best stack and shed backers in this class.
I was about to say, you can see like the edge work translate to him stacking and shedding as a linebacker.
Yes. And he also slips so many blocks. He's just always in the backfield.
I like him. I think he's, yeah.
The true test for him is seeing how he holds up in coverage.
Yeah, definitely.
Most improved.
I put Charles Snowden, because, I mean, he's 6 foot seven. I don't know what position he is. He's with the linebackers. And he's been on our radar for another guy who's been on our radar for so long. Never really put it all together, but the flashes are all there.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, one game he'll be playing like edge all game, one game he won't. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's weird. One game he'll have like seven passes batted down, and then he'll disappear. Yes. Like, it's he's really weird, but he's fun, and I'm excited to see him.
I put KJ Britt because I really like KJ Britt's tape. I thought he gets downhill in a hurry. He feels like a psychopath. He is. He's got a nose for the football as a run defender, but he also plays over aggressive and misses tackles. He struggles with coverage. So, and he's got that SEC pedigree. So I'm excited to see, I think he's a top 10 linebacker in this class, but how high will you go?
Interesting. I like Monty Rice too. I think he's just a safer.
Monty Rice is just a safe option.
Yeah. I like him.
And who's your sleeper? I already said I got Hilliard.
I said Riley Cole.
Okay, I just want to mention, I like Tony Fields too, the Arizona to West Virginia linebacker.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I wouldn't even say quietly, but it's a pretty good, I guess quietly, it's a good group.
No, it is, and it's hey, Jim, good job, split pretty well.
Yeah, it is split well. This was another one that was a tough one. Well,
I mean, Americans got a lot of height, though.
Yeah, they do. Maybe that's...
Jabril and Patty are both 6'4", and Charles is 6'7".
That's sick. I love it.
Also, Garrett Wall, that dude's just going to be a special teams linebacker. Okay, moving to corner where it's an interesting group that has a ton of length, like I mentioned earlier. Yeah. We got some more nickel-y guys. We got a guy in Cam Bynum who might be a safety.
Yeah.
Hey, we got our boy Robert Rochelle, who was playing the first game of this college football season.
Who'd you put for the better team group?
I put the American, specifically because I think Melifonwu and Aaron Robinson are the two most talented corners there.
That is fair. I went with the National just because they're a little bit deeper, and I love Rodarius Williams.
That's fair. Okay, who's your most talented? I put Aaron Robinson.
I put Melifonwu.
Okay, and my biggest riser is Melifonwu.
My biggest riser is also Melifonwu. I think he's going to come in and look awesome. And
well, we're honestly with him too. We're already seeing it as people can dig into the Senior Bowl days.
Yeah,
we're starting to see it quite like he's a day two guy, and just obviously that length is unteachable. Yes, and if he's anything like his brother, he's a freaky athlete.
Probably will be.
And then Robinson's just one of my favorite players. He's always around the line of scrimmage, plays all over the place. Just love that guy. Good Malcolm Jenkins vibes.
Robinson's your personal favorite?
Yes.
I put Rodarius Williams. I like him. He's a dog, and he's always competing his ass off.
I forgot we get Ambry Thomas, too.
Hey, wow, what a transition, Rob. I have Ambry Thomas for most approved.
Oh, I put Robert Rochelle.
Okay, people are in on him. I'm a Michigan fan. I've never been that high on him, and
he was you know, burned by the Buckeyes.
Yeah, like the hype, like it was there in the summer, but he opted out, and it disappeared. And it's coming back. I've seen him top 100, and I've never been there on him. So to me, I just want to see if he's got it or if he doesn't. Period.
I put Rochelle because he's the small school corner who's been all like talked, or the non-FBS corner who's been talked about for like a year and a half.
Yep.
And I didn't love his tape, and I thought he struggled early this season.
He did.
I think they only ended up playing like four games. So this is huge for him. This is everything for his stock.
Yeah, 100%.
For sleeper, I put none again.
Okay, I put St. Juice because he's Canadian and he's a Michigan transfer.
And he's 6'3".
And he's long, yeah.
That's a good pick. Damn, I wish I thought of that.
Yeah, sucks to suck, man.
I'll put Thomas Graham. He's a sleeper because he didn't play this year, so people forgot about him.
Okay.
Why wasn't Brady Breeze invited?
That's a good question. Fucking Jim. End the show. Fuck this.
Finally, the safeties. This show's gone way too long. Better team group has to be the American just because...
There's more of them.
They have like seven, and the National has three. And the National doesn't have anybody who's going to go before day three.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Divine Diablo, baby.
Christian Uphoff's a sick kick returner.
Yeah, I totally agree. These ones are kind of easy. Highest rated, most talented is Nasir Al-Din, kind of obviously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and again, medical would be huge for him, too. And yeah. Again, we haven't seen him play like consistent football. And he's been injured his whole career, but he's also 6'4", 215, and an explosive athlete.
Let me ask you, are you a Richie Grant fan, Rob? I don't think you are, right?
I'm a, like, defined fan.
Well, I've seen him, like top 100.
Oh, no, definitely I am not.
There are, like, those people
I think he's allergic to tackling.
Yeah, I'm kind of biased because I threw on this. I remember the hype was there, like, 2 years ago. I love UCF, especially back then. And I'm like, okay, let's see what he's got. I threw him on and I never liked him. And, he was a bad tackler. And I'm still like, kind of there.
I think he's a pretty good cover guy with good ball skills, and you'll see that in his turnovers, but like he's a mid to late day three guy at best.
I feel the same way. Biggest riser, who'd you put?
I absolutely am obsessed with Tyree Gillespie.
Okay, I'm not that high on Gillespie, but I put him for biggest riser. I think he's got the Nasir Al-Din maybe, but I think of everyone else, he's got the best chance to really up his stock.
First of all, I love a single high safety.
Yep.
He gets downhill quick. Mm-hmm. He takes great angles. He's always making tackles. His take-on skills are unbelievable. There's man cover questions, so I think that this will be an interesting week to see how he holds up there and because for teams that aren't playing a ton of single high, this will impact a lot of how they view him because he played so much of it at Missouri.
Yeah, you know what it was for me? It was that Georgia-Mizzou game that I watched because it was like a week noon schedule, and he really struggled in that game, I thought, just watching live. I didn't watch the tape. So I'm kind of still like I see the goods with him, but that's kind of like still soured in my head, that one performance. You know what I mean?
We're shaking your finger at you, AJ. Don't judge off a broadcast. Judge off his dominant tape against Alabama, where I thought he was one of the best players on the field that day.
The Mizzou D played pretty good that game.
Yeah, him and Nick Bolton, like, were everywhere. And even, do you remember that huge grab Jaylen Waddle made with two DBs on him?
Yep.
Down the middle. Gillespie, the length Gillespie came to even make that hit, and obviously Waddle still caught the ball, blew me away. Love the range. I love Tyree Gillespie. I think he's my personal favorite, and he's my biggest riser this week. I think he's a day two guy.
I can see him sneaking into the third. I agree. Personal favorite, I put Nasir Al-Din because he's fun as fuck. And again, I just want to see him play.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's people are gonna talk about Derwin James when they talk about him. Like, not that's not like because it's a realistic comp, because of Florida State and their size.
Yeah,
in the athleticism. Yeah. Okay, most improved.
I put Jacoby Stevens. I mean,
me too. I want to he needs to show he can cover anybody. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know where his stock is right now.
Me neither. And we've seen it all over the place since September.
I think he's a linebacker.
Yeah, no, I know. And I can't get a good vibe on what people think about Jacoby Stevens right now. And it's kind of a do or die week for him, to be honest.
Okay, finally, who's your sleeper?
Divine Diablo. Has to be.
Divine Diablo is kind of our guy on this show. Wait, is it because of the Cam Chancellor thing?
Well, yeah, no shit. That's why I love him. And he's like one of the best names.
I think he's got the best name at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, for sure. At the Senior Bowl, definitely. Definitely.
Who's second? Before we go, who's the second best name of the senior?
Second best name of the senior. Okay, hold on.
St. Jude's is a pretty cool name.
Yeah, St. Jude's.
Racy McMath is a cool name.
Okay, no, yeah, that's the second best name for sure.
Racy McMath.
So that's a weird name. I love it. Before we go, who do you think is going to win the game?
Oh, I mean, it's obviously going to be, what did I say before the show?
I don't know.
The National. It's the obviously National. The National.
Give me a score prediction.
29.
I love it. Yeah.
23.
I'll say 24-20 for the National.
Who's your MVP?
it's probably going to be a quarterback, Mac Jones, I guess.
But you know what? National winning.
Oh yeah, sorry. Fuck. Why do I have the National winning? That's a good question. Anyways, I'm sticking with it. No, my MVP is gonna be from a losing. No, Ramondre Stevenson is my MVP.
That's what I was trying to hope you would say, but
I got there. Shut up. I got there. Shut up.
Mine will be Dwayne Eskridge because he has a return touchdown as well.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, call my shot.